kick the hour off by welcoming in District 42 Nebraska State Senator Mike Jacobson joining us for our weekly legislative update. Senator Jacobson, congratulations on making it through the legislative session, sir.
Well, thank you very much. It was quite the session, and I was kind of looking forward to it to come to an end as well. But we got there, and I end up with a head cold, but otherwise I'm in good shape.
I think a lot of your colleagues on the legislative floor ended up, there's a little bit of an illness that kind of was going around, it seemed like. But when you're burning it at both ends, too, like you guys were doing towards the end of the session, that might happen.
You know, that's really the case. The last 2 weeks of the session, we went late nights every night. So we were going generally to about 8 or 8:30. There were a couple of nights we went to 11 o'clock. Wow. And I'll tell you, you skip a dinner hour for that. And so what you do is we started at 9 a.m., broke an hour for lunch, and then it was nonstop. So people would leave and go down, grab some pizza, go to their office and grab something. And so it's kind of one of those cases when people talk about, gee, somebody was present not voting. There's a lot of that that happened during that two-week session, or during those 2 weeks, because when we're running late nights, you might leave the floor, you'll be present, you check out, and you go get something to eat. Well, if there's a bill that's up for a vote and it's got plenty of votes to pass, then they'll just go ahead and vote on it. And if you're not there, then you're considered present not voting. But if they know that they're going to need your vote, then they'll do a call of the House, which requires everyone to come back to the floor and check in, and then they make sure they have the votes that they need. And so you see a lot of that during those late night sessions. In fact, you even get to the point where sometimes nature calls and you got to go to the restroom, and all of a sudden there's a vote. So it's interesting. But now I'm proud to say that I was there for every day of the legislature. I didn't miss a day. I was there gavel to gavel, I learned a lot. I felt that it was a really productive session. I'm really happy with the outcome.
Last Wednesday was officially the last day of the legislative session. Earlier on in the festivities, Governor Ricketts made his address to you and your fellow lawmakers, and had some very good props to give to the state senators, for lack of a better term, and rightfully so for everything that was accomplished.
Well, it was a two-way street. I think you got to look at the fact that, you know, Governor Ricketts has served us for 8 years, and we've had an average increase in spending of 2.5%. So think about that over that eight-year period of time, going 2.5% a year was pretty phenomenal in terms of controlling spending when you consider salaries and benefits and just normal inflationary pressures are going to move that budget higher. So one of the things I think that gets missed through all the things that got done is when you look at LB 873, which was the historic $1 billion annual tax savings to Nebraska taxpayers. That happened largely because our economy grew. It wasn't because we raised taxes, because we didn't. It wasn't because we cut spending. It's because we grew the economy at a pace to where we produced all this additional revenue with the existing tax rates. And I think that's something we don't want to lose sight of, is that all too often people get caught up in, well, we've got to cut spending or we've got to increase revenues. Well, there's a third option here, and that works for every business and it works for every taxing authority. You can also grow your local economy, grow your tax base. And when you grow your tax base, you can produce more revenue with the same tax rate and even with some spending increases.
Tax cuts, a big part of this legislative session that just came to its conclusion, Senator Jacobson, including tax cuts on Social Security income. This is a measure that a colleague of yours, Brett Lindstrom, has really championed over his tenure in the legislature. And I was very inspired to see the kind words that Senator Luann Linehan had to say about him Wednesday. Senator Linehan, one of the individuals down there in the body that I have the utmost respect for.
Well, Luann and I have gotten to be really close friends. I've had a lot of respect for her. I've known her over the years. She's endorsed my candidacy. She's been very supportive along the way. What I love about Luann is she's pretty hard-nosed. She's there to get things done, chairs the revenue committee, runs a really tight ship. I would tell you on the Social Security tax cut, Senator Lindstrom brought the bill, and it was going to be a 10-year phase-out. Well, this year we were able to get in 873. Part of that is now to accelerate that to a 5-year phase-out. So we're going to reduce that by 20% per year from where we're at now, and starting with 2022. So So we're going to be at a point where our seniors will no longer have to pay any state income tax on their Social Security income. And this also phased out veterans' income, the taxes on veterans' benefits as well. Long time coming, needed to happen. Finally, we're going to get there. And that was, a huge accomplishment. And I think it'll really go a long ways with our seniors.
Historically speaking, too, this legislative session was of the utmost importance historically, especially when we talk about natural resources and specifically water. And Governor Ricketts kind of alluded to that, as did Speaker Hilgers in his final address to the body.
It is a big deal. And, you know, what I always like to look at is you go back to, again, to the Perkins County Canal Project, which, of course, we always have to point out it's Perkins County Canal Project that's located in Keith County. But again, so everybody understands that particular project. You know, that project is basically bringing water that Colorado owes us, and it brings a canal through the lower part of Keith County, and it creates some reservoirs to store that water when it comes flowing here in the wintertime. And we should get 500 cubic feet per second of water guaranteed each month through the non-irrigation season. We will capture that water in these reservoirs and then be able to release that water in the summertime during irrigation season. So you think about what we did with NCORP and what the farmers had to do in our region and the natural resources districts that are here and what they're paying to purchase that land, build that water project so that we could deliver the water that Nebraska owed Kansas. And yet you had state senators who didn't want to hold Colorado accountable for the water that they should deliver to Nebraska.
Right.
So that was a big deal. We did get $53.5 million funded to do the feasibility study and to do do some contracts to be able to do options to purchase the land along the way. The other big water projects, of course, were at McConaughey to build a marina at Lake McConaughey,
right,
do some improvements there. And then, of course, the big Star Wars project would be the study of the big lake between Lincoln and Omaha.
Lake Moorfield, I think you and your colleagues have called
it. You know, it's had a lot of names. It's had a lot of names. But there was a lot of controversy on that as well. We didn't fully fund it, but we funded enough money to take it the next step. We have the Star Wars Commission now that's going to go out and do the rest of the work here to study it. We'll continue to see that over the next few years in the legislature as that continues to get developed. But I think what we found with Lake McConaughey, look at the number of visitors that come to Nebraska every year from Colorado just to go to McConaughey,
right,
in the wintertime or in the summertime.
Right.
Huge deal. And now think about if there was one between Lincoln and Omaha. That's really what they're focused on is really tourism is primarily what they're looking at by building this particular lake where they want to build it.
And particularly
with respect to the Perkins County Canal project.
Yes.
Where can I actually find a map where that proposed direction, route, everything is laid out?
I think I can get you one.
Okay.
I think I can get you one.
I had a gentleman ask me about that the other day because of my outdoor writing stuff. He said, what did I think of it? And I said, well, number one, I said, I think it's a good thing that Nebraska is doing that and claiming what they're owed. Nebraska water rights are so convoluted, you have to stay on top of it constantly. And if we have that owed to us in a previous pack, let's take it. Denver's and the Front Range is sucking all the water they can, so we better
get
what's.
That's what I was going to say.
Better get what's owed to us.
It'd be a different story if we could trust Colorado to be a good neighbor, but unfortunately, Senator, we can't.
No, and I think that got debated a lot on the floor, and that's exactly the case. At the rate that they're building homes in the Front Range, they're going to use all that water and more. And so, really, it's a race, and the compact is very clear. There's really not a lot of ambiguity about whether or not if we build this that we're entitled to the water. Okay, that is very clear.
Mm-hmm.
I think the part that's unclear that Colorado's made clear to us is unless and until you build it, we're not giving you the 500 cubic feet per second in the off season. We're just not doing it.
They basically dealt their hand that said you can't have it unless you're ready for it.
Exactly.
And so we'll get ready for it.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. Now, will that mean that there won't be some lawsuits down the road? Could very well be.
Perhaps.
But the compact is pretty crystal clear. In fact, some would argue it was even more clear than the Kansas-Nebraska compact. which, and we all know where that, how that ended up.
And I think that's right. And there was some, and that, we're going way back now. That was Tom Hansen when he was senator dealing with
yes.
that one, because I was getting some information for Tom showing that Kansas wasn't really living up to their part of the project. Kansas built a few dams to hold back water that should have been in that, in the Republican River.
Mm.
But
same concept.
Yeah.
Same concept. Yeah.
And Senator Jacobson, as we talk about this legislative session too, I think one aspect that may be overshadowed is this was historical too for your district, District 42 for Lincoln County and North Platte.
It really was. It was interesting the way all these pieces came together. Obviously, we were trying to get our rail park funded. That would be the Hershey North Platte Rail Park.
Which you did.
And we got that funding, and that was a real fist fight. I mean, it truly was.
You got your linebacker voice out a few times, as they like to call it.
Well, and of course, like in so many cases, there's so much that goes on behind the scenes. You know, I made a few floor speeches and some impassioned floor speeches on, you know, this is our money. It was designed for North Platte. North Platte's ready to go, and this belongs in this district. But the work that went on behind the scenes was where it really got done.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it was having the ability and having the advantage of knowing most of the state senators down there and really having close personal friendship with Senator Stenner, the chairman of the Appropriations Committee. I got to be really good friends with Senator Mike McDonnell from Omaha, who took up the Sustainable Beef Bill, and he was helpful because we were working together on the Sustainable Beef Bill. He also helped me out as it related to some of the work that was being done on other projects for North Platte. So it was, and Gary Pearson and I were communicating on an hourly basis as things were progressing. He was providing me more information. I was providing him feedback, and we were working tag-teaming this along the way, and ultimately got to the finish line, and I think we're feeling really good about how that's going to come together. I think it'll be a huge impact on North Platte.
These projects wouldn't be possible without Mr. Pearson at the chamber either.
No, they would not have been, and I joined Gary, it's probably been about 3 years ago when the UP had some changes in their leadership. And they announced that they were going to be making changes out here with our rail yard at Bailey Yard. And it was at that point in time when we knew we were going to have to do something different. We were going to have to be able to, the good news, bad news, when they made the change with the longer trains, not stopping as much in North Platte doing the furloughs, we knew that we were going to have to figure out a way to be able to hold those quality jobs here in North Platte. We also knew that we were now going to be potentially have some access to that rail yard. So that was the first step in the right direction of the positive piece of the negative. As if you recall, when Gary was in Sydney, he brought a lot of manufacturing and economic activity to Sydney, and he was able to do it because they could get on the Burlington line there at Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
So when he came here, he thought, this will really be great. We've got the UP line. Boy, this will be wonderful. And then finds out, oh, no, you can't touch our line.
The UP wouldn't let him do it.
Yeah. Wouldn't let us get on.
It was a hard no for a number of years.
Yes.
And then that hard no became a, well, let's have a conversation at the meeting that you previously mentioned.
Exactly.
And it all went back to the fact that UP was losing money. They had to figure out a way to gain more options, too. So now we're here.
Yep. It's a win-win for UP and for the economy locally.
Should be.
Yeah, the problem, the biggest concern there was we lost far too many railroad workers and very high-paying jobs, quality jobs, and so we've got to be able to restore those, and we've got to get those back and not lose any more. And so that's been a big focus of mine as well, and this will be one step in the right direction also to provide some diversification of railroad-related jobs that should be good-paying jobs as well. But there's a good plan in place, and I'm excited about where we can move going forward. It'll also include getting an Inland Port Authority,
mm-hmm.
And by doing that, we'll be able to do export-import directly in through here. They could literally bring product directly into North Platte, be a big fenced-in area out there, about 300 acres that would be fenced in. But this is $30 million to help fund that. I get asked a lot about, you know, what are you doing for the region? And I would tell you that, you know, I recognize the fact that we have five more counties that have been added to District 42.
It looks different than ever before off redistricting.
It does, but I would tell you that a lot of what we do, think about the Walmart Food Distribution Center. Walmart Food Distribution Center employs 600 people. They draw from throughout the district, okay? Quality jobs, quality benefits, quality employer.
Yeah, all you have to do is drive through their parking lot and see all the different counties represented on the license plates to tell you that it's not just North Platte and Lincoln County.
Exactly.
More than just the district, too, to be honest, Senator Jacobson.
There is. There's a lot coming out from outside the district, mm-hmm. particularly east.
Yeah, I think a lot of cases, and again, as I've traveled the district, I've talked to different people, and the first question is, well, you know, you're from North Platte, you care about North Platte, but do you care about, you know, Thomas County, and do you care about Hooker County? And the answer is absolutely. But the way we serve is we got to think regionally. It's like the hospital. The hospital is a crown jewel here in North Platte. We draw from a large area. We have quality physicians here. It's a very quality operation. But I will tell you that when you look at the Mullen Nursing Home and you look at these other nursing home facilities and other needs across the district.
That are struggling or have been eliminated, yeah.
Right. People will travel and they can travel to North Platte instead of having to travel to Kearney, Grand Island, Lincoln, Omaha, yeah. Denver. Okay. And so as we look at where our population is at and what's been happening with our population, we've really got to look regionally. And we've got to look at where can we bring in new ventures. You know, sustainable beef will do a lot to be able to help the price of beef and really help our beef producers. That will be a win, and that'll be a regional win. When we look at the rail park, they're going to have to hire from the region.
Mm-hmm.
Walmart is already doing that. Look at the hospital. It provides great medical care. Look at the cancer center here at this hospital. And how many people can get cancer treatments? I did that myself.
Quality cancer
treatments. Quality cancer treatments right here in North Platte. And so you're not having to travel very far when you live anywhere in the 42nd District to get to quality health care. And then you look at the transformation that's occurring at the mall. And this, again, is going to provide a retail option for everyone in the region to be able to go to. So we'll continue to look for opportunities that can help directly inside in other parts of the district. But I think as we look regionally, we want to improve the lives of everyone in the district, and we do it by creating options from a regional standpoint.
And you brought up the Mullen Nursing Home several times on legislative floor as well with an area that you represent with Hooker County, too. So that kind of indicates, too, Senator Jacobson, that you have a passion for all of your respected counties, and you're very well aware of what's going on throughout each of them.
Well, I've spent a lot of time understanding what happened in Mullen, to really be able to prepare and working through the floor debate to understand how can we make some improvements. You know, again, as I've talked again about the nursing home up there, their problems were there, and the solutions are not simple, and they're not one dimensional. If you really look at what happened up there, they saw between July of 2020 and July of 2021, they saw a $100,000 increase in salaries and a $100,000 increase in supplies. Mm-hmm. Now, $200,000 increase. Now, let's bring this back. That nursing home had a capacity of 30. They had a resident count of 17 when it closed, and they needed 20 to break even. So the bigger problem that we're looking at, not only at the nursing home there, but at other nursing homes that are rural nursing homes, is number one, you're not getting, you've got such a high mix of Medicare, Medicaid patients. Well, those reimbursements aren't nearly high enough to offset your costs. Number two, you've got regulations. You've got to have nursing staff, and we have a shortage of nurses. We can't even get nurses at the hospital.
Right.
So we got a shortage of nurses, and you've got to be able to pay them, and you got to have them there 24/7. So if we could maybe look at telehealth as opposed to having to have a physical nurse there, we could significantly bend that cost curve.
And there's a lot of things that you can do via telehealth. You don't mm-hmm. need somebody standing right there. And I think that is an option that is worth looking at more.
It is. And I think part of that gets back again to the expansion of broadband, which I'm also very, very focused on. And we did pass a couple of bills. Another one I co-sponsored was the broadband mapping.
Mm-hmm.
And the mapping is all you got to do is drive to Mullen and try to get on your cell phone, and you can't have cell service most of the time.
It's spotty coverage. Verizon, Viero, you name it, it's spotty coverage up there.
It is. And so the technology's there today. We got to think about broadband much like rural electrification. You look back when we first got electricity. It went to the big cities first, went to smaller cities, and ultimately it got out into the rural areas. That's what's happening with broadband. But we need to expand that. We need to make it happen faster. You know, you've got to have fiber, and now you can run fiber to towers, and then you can have boxes on these towers.
Right, microwave that, it from there.
And be wireless from there. And the closer the tower is to the user, the faster
better,
your speeds are
the faster the speed and better reception.
Better the quality.
One of the great graphics on why Nebraska needs this is a couple of the cell phone companies. You know, they have about how great they are and where they serve, and they put that map up. Nebraska is a whole.
Right.
There's no color in it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
I laugh at that every time I see it. I say, come on, guys. You know, you're advertising in Nebraska. Let's serve Nebraska.
Well, there is some major money coming from the federal government that, again, was part of this, part of the infrastructure bill. And so we are going to be seeing funding. And right now, and big surprise, I know everybody's going to be shocked to hear this, guess what we're short of right now? Fiber.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was discussed a lot on the floor when we started looking at allocating ARPA dollars, because the ARPA dollars have to be spent by 2026. So we're using it for affordable housing. We're using it for broadband. We're using it for a lot of different areas. Sustainable beef is ARPA dollars. But what you got to look at also is, can we actually get the materials, get the labor, and get it constructed in that time frame? And that's going to be part of the race.
That's going to be the challenge.
That's going to be the challenge.
Senator Jacobson, we do need to wrap up, sir, but I want to stress to individuals that although the legislative session has come to its conclusion, you still are the rightfully representative for District 42, and you're still working throughout this downtime as well out of the legislative session.
I am. And I'm actually looking to look at researching bills for next year and starting to craft some things for next year. So I'm very interested in getting input from people as to their thoughts on what they'd like to see happen. I would like to mention one other thing just as we wrap up, and that would be that. And by the way, you can reach my legislative office. My staff's there. Just mjacobson at leg.ne.gov.
A little quieter at the Capitol, but they're still working.
Yeah, they're still working. Yes, they are. And but I would tell you that one question I've gotten a lot on is the refundable income tax credit from your property taxes. And I would tell you that there is a process you need to go to claim that. And I would really encourage people to make sure that they do that and that they do try to make sure that they apply for that. There is a there's a form out there called PTC, Paul, Tom, Charlie, PTC, form PTC. And if you have any questions about getting access, call the Department of Revenue. That number is 402-471-5729. The Department of Revenue can also help you to access this form and access what's called the parcel lookup. And there's a parcel lookup. You have to go through the process of the parcel lookup
to identify your property.
Identify your properties, and then you fill out form PTC, and then you put that on your tax form. So if you have any questions on that, contact the Department of Revenue, because that's a major number this year, and it will be into the future from the bill that we passed this year. And last year, there was a lot of money that went unclaimed because it was a smaller refund. A lot of tax preparers weren't aware of it. But if you have any questions, contact my office or call this Department of Revenue number. We'll help you walk through the process. But that's your money. You should get it back. Make sure you file that.
Now, do you have to go and amend your tax returns now to do that, or can it wait till next year?
I think you'd have to amend it to change it if you've already filed.
Already filed.
But if you extended it, you could still get that. But I have had some questions from people about that. I use a professional tax preparer, so I didn't go through the process. So I've done some research to really figure out what you have to do if you're individually filing your own return.
And we will continue our weekly legislative updates with Senator Jacobson as well here, although the session is not in session right now. We will continue those legislative updates with Senator Jacobson, as we said a minute ago, Mike, continuing to work here. Although the legislature's not in session, the majority of state senators continuing to work throughout this quote-unquote downtime.
Sure. Yep. And I look forward to hearing from you. Again, you can either contact my legislative office, or if you've got other questions, you want to contact me here at the bank. It's mjacobson@nlnb.com, and you can reach me locally at that email address as well. Look forward to hearing from you, and any response that you have or questions you have, look forward to working with you.
Thank you, Senator Jacobson. Look forward to talking to you again next Monday, sir.
Thanks, gentlemen.